Tonight, because we're dealing with 9/11, I wanted us to look at what you will see as the cause so often of war, the cause of situations that are going on throughout the world, even with terrorism. The title is The Haves and the Have-Nots, but I think you're going to understand it different than you think that I'm going to teach it here. When people say, well, we have not, so therefore we go to kill others who have to take what they have. So what I'm going to do tonight, I want you to see and listen to Jesus as he speaks on the subject of the haves and the have-nots. Let's say that each one of us may have worked for 40 years hard work to earn what little that we have. And then we turn around and someone says, well, no, we do not have, so therefore you give us what you have. The Apostle Peter certainly spoke on it when he said, you do know that as it was told to us, Peter says, that he that does not work does not eat. The haves and the have-nots have nothing to do with those that are poor that we are supposed to be helping. The have and the have-nots focus on a nation that will look at our nation. That's what's looked at on 9/11 in 2001. And notice that America is flourishing. America has everything that anybody could imagine. And because we do not have it, we need to go and attack those who do have. There's a whole story on page 3 here that I'll read you about Jesus and how that it happened to the landowner's son. Jesus speaks on the whole subject, and listen to Luke 8:16-18. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away. Okay. Your whole focus is going to be, when you're learning about the haves and the have-nots, Jesus is making a statement and people look at it and think, what in the world is he talking about? This is the Son of God saying that those who have, it'll be taken from them, or those who have not what they do have, it'll take from them and give to those who have. Let's look at a key that we need to pay attention to here. Therefore, I can't believe it didn't highlight it. Therefore, take heed how you hear. It has always been with Jesus from the beginning, and I'm talking about from the book of Genesis all the way through Scripture, since creation, God has said, I want you to hear me. I want you to know me. I want to personally be a part of your life. So take care and take heed of how you hear. When you and I will read the Word of God, or when we know that we're under conviction by the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying, I want you to pay attention to me. Many people hear everybody but Jesus. But Jesus says, if you will listen to me, but take heed in how you hear what I say. Now, what I just read to you sounds somewhat like we're just going to take away from those who don't have and use it to splurge on ourselves. It's not what he's talking about. The Jewish nation had been given the best. God had been their king. God took care of them and all that they had. And God said, pay attention to what I tell you. I want you to reach out to the world with the story that I'm going to give you. Then we have the story of Jesus to be born. The Messiah was prophesied in the book of Genesis. And what God is saying, pay attention to what I'm saying. Well, the Jews didn't want to. They, even though they turned their back on God, remember after coming out of bondage, that's all it was, a battle, one right after another. And the battle was against Moses, against Aaron, against everybody that was trying to help. Yes. Well, God says, be careful how you hear, who you're listening to. When God gives us His Word, He said, I want you to listen to it spiritually. I want you to know that what I have given you, you are wasting. I have given you the Jewish nation. I have given you my word that my son is going to become. The Messiah is coming. They still say that also. They just say that Jesus wasn't a Messiah. The Messiah is coming, and I want you to take the message. And the Jewish nation said, we're not going to do that. We don't like the Gentiles. We don't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. Then you hear here that Jesus is saying, what you do have, I will take from you. That what you don't have, what little you do have, I will take from you and give it to those who will do with it what I've told them to do with it. So that's listening spiritually. God says, if you will take my spirit. Now think of this. Everything that God had asked the Jewish nation to do, and He had given to them to do with. All He was doing was saying, okay, and by the way, don't you worry about your enemies. I'll fight the battle for you. It'll be taken care of. It's already done. Here, I want you to take the word. No, I'm not going to do it, Father. Well, that's my paraphrase. Because we don't like the people you're sending us to. Look at Jesus' disciples ask Him why He spoke in parables. Matthew 13:11-13. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Why not? From the beginning, God has said, whosoever will, let him come. It was the free choice. It has always been free choice to choose. Well, and God says, okay, to those who've chosen wisely, to those who have the ears to hear spiritually and choose to hear spiritually, says, I want you to know that I am going to give you even more. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Now, if the disciples weren't messed up when they asked the question, they are now. Well, the heart of God. Let's go there. God said, I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you the heartbeat of who I am. He sent His own Son to do that, to sign and make sure that the Holy Spirit is the seal of our salvation. What the nations were talking about at this time was once again going by rule, going by power. God continued to give them the message, don't do that. Listen to me. The Messiah is coming. Remember, the sacrifice, it's a blood sacrifice, always represented the true blood sacrifice of Christ that's to come. So therefore, those who were believing, well, they didn't believe that. And one of the reasons were they got too cocky. They were proud. See, God was fighting the battles. And so the Jewish nation had walked right over any army that was there, but it was because of God. And they would not hear God when He was talking to their heart. They were only hearing through the mind. Those who serve the Lord hear the Lord with their heart or with their spirit. When they would, have you ever had somebody ask you the question, how could God be such a loving God? Just look at the Old Testament, and He'd command them to go in and even slaughter the children. When they would see that and hear that, what was their problem? They were looking at it. They were blind, meaning looking at it and could not understand spiritual word from God because they were looking at it from the human standpoint. So let me tell you all, or I want you to think about this as Christians, knowing that God is a merciful God. If those children continued to grow up in the homes which they were growing, there would have been no hope for those children, because they would have known eventually they would have sinned against God and went against God just like their parents did. So at those points in life, you and I, it is too deep for us to try to reach in there why God did it. But I do know this, that a person where there is no law, there is no judgment. People would look at it as, well, yeah, it's a horrible thing to do. Yet at that time, the Messiah had not come. So God says, I want you to kill the whole family. Well, the leaders, well, I don't care whether it was Joshua or who it was, Aaron or any of them, what was going on was they're looking at it and it said that, well, kill them all. A lot of times they refused to do it. They didn't do it, and that was sin before God. God had set up his creation the way he wanted to set it up. He knew who would turn against him. And I look at it always as such great mercy from God that he says, send them to me so I can give them life. We ask the same thing today. Why does a baby die? And we know from Isaiah that said people ask, why does the innocent perish? And do you not know or do you not understand that they perish to protect them from the evil that is to come? You and I don't know what that evil was. But we would still ask God, I can't believe that your God would allow this. That's because you don't know our God. Nothing that is done to the human being that God has created is done without mercy from God. Christians slaughtered by Nero. Christians slaughtered by other. But look what the slaughter that's going on right now. Think of that. That one of the oldest, I guess, Christian nation or town there, it's of all the Christians, they've slaughtered the Christians. They were going in through these battles that they call it out of Syria, as I'm saying. They're going in and they're saying, you either convert to Islam or we'll cut off your head. Now, can you imagine if somebody came to us? What would we say? What kind of excuse would we say? Would we do like one priest had done? It said, well, I convert to Islam and I'll repent to Jesus later. Or would we have the courage that these folks seem to have and they're cutting their heads off because they would not turn their back on Christ? They're not from America. They're from God's land. And the same Holy Spirit that is in you and me is in them. How, though, would we react ourselves in America if somebody came up and told us that? There's so much stuff going on over there that you and I haven't the slightest idea what the truth is. That's why, as Christians, you and I have to look at it from God's standpoint. That's why we need to pray. Lord, we don't know. Only thing we can do is lift our heart to you, because we don't even know what to ask you in prayer. I'm thankful that our men and women in our service are not in that country, because we would do the same thing to them that we've done or their country has done to those of us in Vietnam or any of the rest of them. Isn't that sad? What was the old saying? The little devil you know is better than a devil you don't know. Yeah. I know. I think I learned that when I was doing some marriage counseling one time. As the disciples are saying, why are you talking this way? He was talking that way to them in parable or story form, because even a lot of times the disciples did not catch on. They couldn't catch it either. So, Lord, just speak to us plainly, will you? And so he speaks to them plainly, and what happened? They still didn't catch on. You know, it was just, so this was a teaching time for them, learning experience, but for us also. He's saying, okay, I'm going to say these things in parables. Well, you and I now as Christians, we catch on to them because we're looking at it spiritually. That's one of the things I like about a lot of the modern language translations is they'll pull out the words that you and I understand in depth. But Jesus says, Larry, I speak English, and my spirit will talk to your heart to where you'll understand it. What good would it do me to go to Mexico or Russia to try to be a missionary speaking English? I would have to know the language. Do you know the hardest language that you'll ever learn is the Christian language? Yes, that's correct. The Christian language. You and I, when we talk to one another, we talk about being saved. The world has no idea what we're talking about. Well, they mean saved from what? Saved from this, that. When the Christian language is a spiritual language. Think of it again, you know, our language of when we worship in our heart, the Lord speaks to us and we didn't hear a voice. We could if he wanted us to, but we didn't hear a voice, but we know what he said. Now, for me to learn the Christian language is very difficult, but talking about teaching it to someone else, you can't because it's Holy Spirit powered. God says, I'll teach them myself, Larry. You just preach it. But it's so difficult for us to get the message across in our generation simply because we're trying to explain the acts of the Holy Spirit or God. And we're trying to explain it to people that don't even believe there is a God. Until they come under conviction and then they start, oh, I see that now. Well, every day I wake up and read another scripture. I say, oh, I see that now. I don't think it ever ends. Okay, the have-nots continue not to have because they follow blind guides. That's Luke 6:39 through and 40. Remember, folks, this is what Jesus is saying. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Okay, Jesus is our teacher. Holy Spirit in us is our teacher. Our teacher is teaching us the Christian language, so the story of Jesus Christ, as the Lord reveals to us in our heart, and he's still the teacher. But that's what we're talking about growing in Christ. We are to become more like him. This is what he's talking about. To become more like Jesus, do we not need Jesus to do the teaching for us? Now, again, I may teach the scripture, share in prayer, but it is not my voice that changed the heart. It's the Holy Spirit. Have you noticed that every one of us will catch on to some? I wrote my article for October. You read that, you'll see what I'm talking about, making sure that we understand the miraculous God power in our life, understanding that God is exactly who he says that he is. When you and I as Christians come to the stand, now think of how difficult it is for us as Christians attempting to understand the love of God, why God does things the way he does it, and very seldom does it the way we've asked him to. And we look at it, and yet as a Christian we sit back, well, God knows best. We don't understand it. None of us, I cannot explain, you know, when people say explain your salvation, you're going to have to talk to God on that one. I cannot explain it. I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. The best I know how to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Now, another thing in the article, I said, do not be judging other people by how they hear God just because you don't hear God that way. And say that they're not a Christian. The Lord does say, though, when the blind attempt to lead the blind, both of them are going in the ditch. Look at it in our generation again. We have so much false doctrine in the churches. So many teachers sitting there. I've told you all a story of some about, you know, my great niece and all, you know, and dealing with some of this stuff. And she's a very spiritual young lady, and when she heard what was being taught, she confronted and said, that's not right. Now, why would she have done that? Because the Lord's speaking to her. That got way out of hand. I can tell you that before it was over. Because, folks, you cannot allow one jot or tittle to be changed in the Scripture and not expect God to act upon your change. We are never to do that. And yet when you start in Sunday school classes, start teaching something that isn't Scripture, we got a trouble. We got trouble because some's going to believe it, some's not. Then you got the battles. Then you got the aggravation. Then you've got the fusses and the fights. You have no idea the blessing it has been to be at peace for 13 years. Here. No, you know, to be at peace without the fussing and griping and the power plays and all of that. Give me a church, a congregation, exactly the way we have it. And we will see that we can reach out to the world and not make them feel ashamed to come to church. That was always one of the problems that I had when Lawrence and I used to be, out in evangelism, going out and around, and we'd stop at a farmer in the field and talk to him about Jesus. But don't tick them off if a big rain's coming, they're trying to get the hay in. So what did we do? We pitched hay. Yep, it talked about Jesus. So you and I have been given the vision, but many blind to the Scripture are leading others into the pit. I don't know about the judgment on that. I was asked that one time before, who's guilty of that? If the person did not hear properly, then can they be found guilty if they were not told the truth? That, again, is another part of the wisdom of God. You and I have no idea. So what I do is, what you do is, I will teach you them word. I'll show them kindness. I will preach. But it is not your job or my job to convict them. I'm not charged with bringing them under conviction, only to say, thus saith the Lord thy God. The blind guides of the world have always failed to have because they refuse to listen to the teacher. All the religions of the world, and we have one belief structure as Christians, the Christian relationship with Jesus Christ. Peace, joy, happiness, love for us to reach out. Not to kill those who don't like us, but to love those who are trying to kill us. To care enough within our heart and our spirit to understand God. If my enemy comes at me, I trust you because I have no idea who my enemy is. I have no idea who it would be. I can tell you this. In most all incidents, it won't be the one you think. It'll be someone that you never dreamed that would come out after you. Malachi 3:10. Most preachers preach on that a lot. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. Only time you'll see God saying that. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. Yep. That's the blessings will overflow. Well, what do you do with them? You let them overflow on the people around you. You allow those blessings to be the word from God that's going to help someone who had never heard the word from God. The more that he blesses us, the more that he requires of us. what happened to the Jewish nation is happening to the Christian nation in our own country. We would have it and it would come in, but then we kept it to use for ourselves instead of doing with it what God told us to, instead of sharing it. Have you ever just tried to say, well, no, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that because I'm going to save up and for this, that, or other, whatever it is. Now, I'm going to go to heaven whether I give or not, because I heard Brother Larry say that time and time again. It doesn't have a thing to do with my salvation. The trouble is, when the time comes, you don't have squat. It's gone. From sickness, a car, or whatever it is, it's gone. Why? It wasn't blessed. If it's not blessed, it's wide open, folks, to be destroyed. And they never get enough. How much is enough to ask the wealthy man? Just one more. It's always just one more. One more million, one more whatever. It's never enough. Okay, Matthew 7:13-14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. That's the wild living, or the you all understand it. And do you know you understand it because you're a Christian? A person who doesn't know Christ will not have the slightest idea of what this means. And there are many who go in by it. That's the broad way. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way. Really? Yes. Narrow the gate, meaning Jesus is the only way. Difficult is the way because the people fight the concept that it is through Christ and Christ only that we can be saved. Too simple. Simplicity of the gospel turns the world away from it. Why? Because the intellects, they can't deal with simplicity. Other people who say, well, common sense tells you we got to do something, and then it's because of the simplicity of it, the world walks away. That's why, okay, you and I look at it. Think about what the angels think about watching it in creation, because you and I can see a lot of it now ourselves and remembering a few times with our own life that we had been part of it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Question again with people. You think heaven's going to be big enough for all the people that are saved? And my answer is, I know hell's going to be big enough for all who aren't, so I guarantee you, you don't have to worry about space with God. Here's something, I'm going to show you all, or tell you all something on this story of Matthew 21:33-34, that I bet you just didn't think about or pay attention to. And it'll be on the last verses, 43 and 44, that I'll tell you, and you may want to make a little note on it when I do. Are you ready? Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. He's talking to the Jewish nation. You got it? About the Jewish nation. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servant to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servant. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. We know who that is. Jesus Christ. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. Oh, they were in trouble on that one. Okay. So they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. This is the story of Jesus. Therefore, And Jesus is telling his own story? Cool, huh? Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Why, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. So Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, verses 43 and 44, therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Gentiles, that's us. You got it? At this point, Jesus is saying, because you refuse to take it, they're standing there listening to him. But let me give you this one. Now, you got to remember, you always remember when you're reading scripture, who's he talking to? Make sure that you're dealing with the area in which he is speaking, wherever he is. And it's this one, verse 44. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. But he on whom it falls will be crushed. Now, let me give you the illustration, because Jesus is talking to the Jewish nation. What he's saying here, they understand well. So when I get through explaining this, I hope you will too. Remember when a person would commit such a sin that they were to be stoned to death? Remember? Okay. You may not have remember it being taught, but I hope you have. I haven't taught it, but I hope you learned it along the way. If not, you're going to learn it tonight. When they would get ready to stone a person that was sentenced to stoning, they would build a scaffolding twice the height of the person. And after that person then would get on that scaffolding twice his height. And the people around would take the big stones and try to hit him and kill him with those stones. Now, those stones fall on this stone and will be broken to pieces. Those stones would break his bones or this. The stone then would knock him off. One of the stones or sometime he's falling down. If he lived through that, there was a majestic stone on the scaffolding that was larger than he was. And then that stone would be pushed off with him under it, and he would be crushed to powder. They knew that's what it how it was done. You and I have never seen that. Actually, I don't think we want to. But his audience knew what he was talking about here. Let me read it again. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Those that were standing up there as they were stoning him, and they fall, they're going to fall on the stones that have, you know, came down in front after they've hit him with them. But he on whom it falls will be crushed. Okay, Jesus is telling them, I'm that stone. I'm the crushing stone. I'm the stone that is the cornerstone that is going to stick out further a lot of times than any other stone on the corner. It's going to be more recognizable. You run into that stone, you're going to be broken. When they start throwing stoning at you, they're going to break some ribs or whatever. But if you don't die from that, if you've fallen, the mighty stone, who is Jesus in this parable, will crush you. Well, do we not remember something about that in the Garden of Eden? But he will crush your head. It was always the teaching Messiah was coming. Everything you will see from the Old Testament or these illustrations here that Jesus is giving has already been prophesied. And these people were living in a culture to where this took place. So Jesus had just told the Pharisees that I am that stone The Pharisees should have been smart enough to have read and studied the prophets, and the ones who were realized he was talking about himself being God, and that that stone would crush him. That enraged them anyway. So, were you all aware of that on the scaffolding and all? Well, I'm glad I told you. But it brings to me that scripture more to light, to where everything that he did as an illustration for those who could understand it. I think what our trouble has been over the years is as perhaps that I never had heard of it in the church growing up, was it a lot of times that they didn't know it to teach it. But I believe a lot of times within our area, the main focus had always been evangelism, and I'm saved and let's go. And then we read the good stories, of Scripture and all, and learn from there. This is one that says, "Thus saith the Lord, the haves and the have-nots. Is it not the have-nots that begin the war? They want what America has, but do not want to come and join us in what we do have. They want to take it away. It's the robber that comes in to steal the harvest. The harvest in your heart and my heart is the truth of Jesus Christ. They want to wipe that from my heart and tell me that wrong Savior, here's another. They cannot do that because I hear and you hear. And when we hear the voice of God's Holy Spirit.